Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Now, our call to worship. Today, there is good news for us to behold. Those who feared that they were worth little to God have found blessing in God's sight. For in the mercy and love of God, the blind shall see, the lame shall walk without pain, those who could not hear shall be blessed with hearing, and there shall be peace. God's mercy and love is poured out for our parched souls. Behold, the Lord's compassion is with God's people. Believe in the power of God in all things. Amen. Now, our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, who is creator, maker of all we see and all we don't see, who is ruler of the universe, source of all creation. We believe in one God, who is Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light, true God and true human. He is one with the Creator, the Word made flesh, our Messiah, Savior of all creation. We believe in one God, who is Holy Spirit, breath of God moving among us, who is one with the Creator, one with Christ, our Comforter and our Guide, Mentor of all creation. Amen.
all flesh is like grass and its flowers. The grass may wither, the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord is forever.
If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text, the 126th Psalm. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us," and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bear the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to talk to you today about Christmas joy. We all face difficulties in life, challenges at work or at school, people that are hard to get along with, there's stress, problems and disappointments, and if we're not too careful, we will let the pressures of life weigh us down. It's easy to complain. It's easy to become negative and discouraged, but we weren't meant to go through life depressed and dispirited. We were created to enjoy life. We can't control what happens on the outside, but we can control what happens on the inside. Let me say that again because it's so very important. You can control how you react to the people and the things around you. We can control what happens on the inside. Happiness for a lot of people depends upon what happens to them. It's the weekend. I'm happy. My child's team wins the ball game. I'm happy. Work isn't too bad. I'm happy. But the joy that comes from knowing Christ doesn't come and go from what happens around you. The joy from knowing Christ comes from what is going on deep down on the inside of you. In a Dr. Seuss Christmas story, the small-hearted Grinch takes food and toys away from all the Whos of Whosville in an effort to steal their Christmas joy. Yet on Christmas morning, the tall and the small sang without any presents at all. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, is a whole lot more. Christmas joy is more than just words. Christmas joy is God becoming human in the person of Jesus Christ because we need a Savior. Do you know why the Grinch hated Christmas? Because his heart was so filled with hurts, pains of the past, and brokenness that there was just not enough room for joy. We must let the Christmas joy into our attitude. Let the Christmas joy into our hearts. Even when we meet up with people who are not big-hearted or joyful. If you think that you are not a Grinch, but you think that you might know a Grinch, I want you to think about that for a minute. I'm sure there are a lot of people thinking about the Grinches in their life, and the truth is that we are all a bunch of Grinches who need to be restored. Let's think about two questions for a moment. Have you ever been a Grinch? Why does my life need to be restored? Romans 3:10 says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." What this means is no one is innocent. Everyone has sinned. We all stand in need of forgiveness. Every person is valuable to God, but no one is good enough to get into heaven on your own. We've all fallen because of sin. But God, through Jesus, his Son, offers to forgive us and restore us into God's grace if we turn to him by faith. We live in a culture where it's easy to ignore our own sin. People make excuses every day for why they don't come to church. You tell me an excuse, and I will tell you a reason you need to be in church. So we all fall into the category of a bunch of Grinches. The next question is, why does my life need to be restored? When the Lord restored his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang with joy, according to Psalms 126. The context of the Hebrew word restored means brought back those who were captives and prisoners who are set free. The psalmist explains joy as being restored by the Lord. We need a quick history lesson here to truly understand the meaning. Israel suffered three major exiles or forced removals and slavery of their people. The first was the exile of the Israelites of the northern kingdom of Samaria, carried out by the Assyrians. It occurred somewhere in between 734 and 722 when the city of Samaria was destroyed and the northern kingdom literally wiped off the face of the map. The second major exile involved the destruction of the southern kingdom of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. It took place in 586 BC under the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, according to Jeremiah 52. This was when Solomon's temple was destroyed and the dynasty of David came to an end. The third exile takes place under the Romans in 70 AD when the Roman general, later emperor Titus, destroyed Jerusalem and Herod's temple. Things that happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and after his return to heaven are significant because they speak directly to the church that exists today. Romans 11:25 teaches us that the true end of exile will be when people turn to the risen Jesus, repenting and crying because their sin was what nailed and crucified the Son of God to the cross. Wow, that's a lot to take in, isn't it? But we need to understand our need to be restored in order to be really filled with laughter and sing with joy this Christmas season. Maureen Cleaver was just 7 years old in 1939 when her father John was called to fight in the army in World War II, and she didn't see him again for 6 long years. But she remembered the night that he came home. It was late and there was a loud knock on the front door. Her mother, Elizabeth, asked Maureen to answer it. There stood her dad, but he did not recognize the 13-year-old girl standing there as his daughter. In his mind, she was still a little toddler, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I've come to the wrong house," and he turned around to leave. Of course, he didn't get very far before Maureen cried out, "Daddy, it's me!" Maureen ran and hugged him around the neck. Together, they laughed with joy. A father who had been torn away from home because of war was restored to his little girl and to his family. We've all seen the news clips of soldiers who come home for Christmas. That's what Psalms 126 is talking about when it says, we were filled with laughter and we sang with joy. There's another type of homecoming. There's another type of being restored that each and every one of us have the opportunity to experience. It's being restored to the Heavenly Father, who comes to us and calls us into a right relationship with Jesus. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, God incarnate. What that means is that when you have seen Jesus, you've seen God the Father. So when God wanted to announce what he was like, he was born in the form of a baby, Jesus. We're all a bunch of Grinches who need to be restored. What makes you feel with laughter and joy? What can happen in life is that you can lose joy. You ever lost your joy? You can lose it by your work. You can lose it in your home. You can lose it in your faith. You can lose yourself in overspending. You can lose yourself as you make excuses. You can lose yourself in all kinds of hang-ups, addictions, and negative thinking. You isolate yourself in loneliness, and you try to go it alone. You can build up a lot of fences for why you don't let God in, but God knows how to locate you. In fact, God knows how to come to where we are. The message of Christmas joy isn't that you found God, but that God found you. He finds you in the places of despair. He finds you when you're distressed. He finds you when you're wounded and you're broken and you're lost. God reveals God's self to you. I think God might be saying something to you this Christmas on a personal level. Maybe God is reminding you that He is with you in the loneliness. He is with you in the fire. He's with you in the storm. He's with you in divorce. And He's with you in those financial struggles. He's with you in the sickness. And He's with you when you've sinned and you cannot forgive or forget it yourself. There's nothing you have done that God can't forgive. He still loves you and He still comes to you. He wants to restore you to Him. The Lord restored His exiles to Jerusalem. The Lord released those who were held as prisoners and slaves. Captivity can take on many different forms. Slavery is anything that defeats your purpose. Bondage is anything that's stronger than you are. But then exile took on a different pattern of behavior. The people of Israel had started believing in God once again. This Christmas is meant to be a restoration for somebody. The greatest gift of God isn't around you. It isn't under a Christmas tree. It isn't wrapped up in a box with a ribbon or a bow. The greatest gift of God is the free gift of forgiveness of your sin. I believe today the voice of God is drawing you near. You know, sometimes we go into Christmas expecting everything to be just perfect, and things don't quite turn out exactly the way we want it, and we are disappointed. It's really strange to think about, isn't it? But it's true. There can be dozens of presents under the Christmas tree, but unless you get that one gift that you really wanted, you can be disappointed. Or we can have a table spread out with food, but unless you have your favorite dessert there, you feel let down. It's really something to stop and think about, isn't it? How blessed we are, but how easy it is to find ourselves disappointed and complaining. How we get so frustrated and hung up on the little things in life. We are among the most blessed and privileged people, yet it is though we are walking around living in the negative, always seeing the things that we don't have instead of what we do have. The next time you complain, stop and write down 10 things that you're thankful for. The next time you start to walk in the negative, take up the cross of Jesus and walk in the footsteps of Christ. That's all that is required to receive God's grace, is for you to open your heart and let the Father in. The scripture says that if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. What makes you filled with laughter and joy? Are you singing with Christmas joy? You know, God did not forget His people, even though they were captives in Babylon. In times of trouble, it may feel as though God has forgotten you. Are you singing with Christmas joy? Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Joy is much more than pleasure or fun. Joy is divinity dancing to a new drum. Joy is gratefulness for the greatest of gifts. Joy is sorrow that we know turns to blessings. Joy is the glory of God now on earth. Joy is the amen of a spiritual new birth. Let the psalmist help us explain it. Let the church gladly proclaim it. The people of God say Merry Christmas again. Let the people of God say amen. Let there be joy in worship again. Earlier this week, I was on car duty after school. I saw a father pick up his daughter, and as she was getting into his car, he handed her a container of French fries from McDonald's, which she accidentally dropped on the ground due to the number of things that she was balancing. As she began to cry, I heard him say, "Honey, that's okay. You can have Daddy's fries." I thought to myself, that's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. In our distracted and careless moments, we have dropped our own French fries on the ground, but God in Christ has given us His own fries. We can have Daddy's fries. I ask you today, what are you going to sing about? No, I'm not talking about French fries. I'm not talking about how many presents you have under the tree. There are other matters of profound importance to sing about. Are you still dreaming of a hope-filled Christmas, a peaceful Christmas, a loving Christmas, forgiving Christmas? The presence of God is most powerful when it's most personal. That's why God sent Jesus in human form, because I've been forgiven, I can forgive others. I know it's not always easy to forgive others, is it? Probably is never easy. But there's a poem that kind of goes like this. I've prayed many prayers when no answer came, when my hopes and faith are almost gone. but answers have come to enough of my prayers to make me keep praying on. I've drank from the cup of disappointment and pain. I've gone many days without a song, but I've slipped enough from the cross of life to make me want to singing on. Joy comes to those who keep praying and keep singing. You know, joy comes to those who are grateful. When the Lord has done great things, God's people should be shouting from the highest hilltops, Amen! The real joy of worship is not what you get out of it, but what you put into it. Let the Amen sound from God's people again. 15-year-old Marcia asked if she could just skip Christmas this year. You see, her mom had been diagnosed with cancer. Her father was working Christmas Eve in order to pay the bills. Her sister was not coming home from college. Christmas was coming, and Martha wanted no part of it. The thing that separates Christmas joy from cultural happiness is that Christmas joy acknowledges the pain. Happiness is circumstantial, happenstance. Life happens. Sometimes there is nothing we can do about it. Christmas joy is about something everlasting. A few cups of eggnog might make you merry. But joy does more than just drown our tears. It sits with us through the night. Joy is an abiding promise that God is with us. Joy is more than a three-letter word on the flap of some Christmas card envelope. Joy is the arrival of a Savior, God's intervention in your life. When God arrived, Jesus restores the joy. Still can't believe it. And sometimes I pray, Lord, will you remind me of why you came down from heaven? Why you were born in Bethlehem? In my feeble understanding, I sometimes forget. You know, our doxology that we sing should never be sung like a funeral dirge. Our great thanksgiving should never be read as if we were crying out. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let the church say Amen again. Let your soul be restored. Let your heart be filled with laughter and joy again. May God's people say, Amen. May it be so. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this third week of Advent, let us remember that the good news of Jesus' birth has the power to bring us great joy this Christmas season. Our joy isn't dependent upon what is going on in our lives, in our world, or the people that we're with. It doesn't depend on the gifts that we give or the gifts that we find underneath the tree. No earthly thing can ever give us complete joy. Our joy comes from you. That joy that flooded the hearts of the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, the hosts of heaven, and Mary and Joseph. That's the joy that still has the power to overwhelm our hearts with rejoicing. Those who gathered around the new baby were blessed because they believed that you had fulfilled your promises. Mary and Joseph believed and were able to feel the joy of holding baby Jesus in their arms. Shepherds, the wise men, they believed that the angels and the signs and experienced the great gladness of worshiping their Messiah. Those who knew him and recognized him were overjoyed at the coming of Jesus. They saw the prophecies fulfilled and their fear was replaced with happiness as they gazed on the face of the one who would be their Savior. They trusted in your promises and their hearts were filled with gladness as they watched your loving kindness manifested in the face of a tiny baby in a lowly feeding trough. Father, you offer that same joy to us now. If we know you and we recognize Jesus as our Savior and Lord, you gave us a reason to celebrate when you gave us the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. You came to dwell among us. You went to Calvary's cross for us. You overcame death and rose from the dead for us. You forgive our sin and give us eternal life when we believe in you. Our joy doesn't come from our jobs, our family, our relationships, our finances, or our success. Our joy doesn't come from what we have on earth or who we're with. Our joy is a gift. It's a gift that you gave us that very first Christmas, the gift of Jesus. Our joy is encompassed in our Savior, King Jesus. Flood our heart with joy this Advent season as we reflect on the good news of Jesus' birth. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things, as he taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.